Amen. And good morning, church family. My name is Dave Young. I'm so happy to be in Texas today, and I'm delighted and happy to be with you. If you have a copy of the Bible, would you find Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm for our morning meditation today? I really am so thankful to get to be here. It's my first time to be in your church, and I've known your pastor, as he said, for a long time. And I kept hearing, I kind of lost track of him. I knew him back in Midland, Texas. Kind of lost track of him. And then I kept hearing about this young preacher in, Fort Worth, Texas area. And his name kept coming up. And then I put a connection together and said, well, isn't that just incredible? I am so thankful he's your pastor. And I got to hear him preach for the first time recently. And my goodness, it was an incredible home run. And what a blessing to be with you all and to serve you today. I'm here by myself, but I do have one wife, and we are happily married. We've been married almost 30 years, have 5 youngins, 3 of mine are married, 1 is working on it, and I have a high schooler, and God's just so good to me. My daughter and her husband are on staff at West Coast Baptist, where he's a professor there. My 2 other sons are youth pastors, 1 in California, 1 in Alabama. And then my son Jacob is studying to be a youth pastor, and Charity is just traveling with mom and dad. And we are so, so thankful. God's been so good to me, and I'm really, really honored to be here. And thank you so much for welcoming me, and thank you for just being a blessing. Wasn't that special, just a blessing? And I always love that song, Beulah Land, Married Land is what that word Beulah means. And I'm so thankful for that great song. Psalm 23. How long have you known this psalm? I feel like I've known it my whole life. Are y'all with me on that? I know somewhere along the way I learned it. I'm sure I did. I grew up in church. And my mom and dad, my dad was not a believer when I was a little boy. Mom was. She was saved. She married dad, and then she made things right, and we got in church. But dad wasn't saved until a Monday night revival service when I was in kindergarten. And it always stands out in my mind because I remember the sermon. The preacher preached 2 things. Number 1, you need to be saved through Jesus who died, was buried, and was raised from the dead. Amen. He preached, you need to be saved. That was point number 1. And point number 2 was, you need to throw away your TV. Amen. Those are the 2 things he preached that night. I'm not making that up. I remember that well because my daddy got saved that night. In fact, he interrupted the service to get saved. My dad stood up. They just had started just at the beginning of the invitation. My dad stood up and said, excuse me, said, can I get saved right now? And so he did. And he went home that night and threw away our TV. I hated that evangelist. Every time he came to town, we threw something else away. And for crying out loud. But my daddy got saved. I was raised in a Christian family. I feel like I've known 23rd Psalm all my life. I know I learned it somewhere, but it's still one of my favorites. Is it yours? I love the 23rd Psalm. It's a Psalm of David, as you know. Let's begin reading. Verse 1, you follow along. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The 23rd Psalm. You know this, don't you? The 23rd Psalm is a triplicate. It goes together with the 22nd Psalm and the 24th Psalm, and really forms a triplicate about the shepherd, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, the great shepherd. Did you know that? You knew that, didn't you? And if you didn't know, you should. The 22nd Psalm reminds us that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. And the 24th Psalm is the one that reminds us that he's the chief shepherd who's returning to rule and reign someday on this very earth. And it's an incredible thing. Like chapter 22, you got it there, don't you? Psalm 22, rather. Psalm 22, verse 1 says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Where do you know those words from? You know those from the cross, don't you? Now, the question has been debated for years. Why did Jesus say on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I probably could list for you at least 7 or 8 different potential answers. And sometimes where the Bible is silent, then we can surmise varying answers. But I read a commentary not long ago that I thought, that might be the answer. I was It really grabbed hold of my heart. And the commentator said, you know, he said in the 22nd Psalm, Jesus, the psalmist David said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When Jesus said them on the cross, what he was saying to the audience there is, hey, everybody, hey, now look, go to the 22nd Psalm. Let this remind you of the 22nd Psalm. You know why that's important? Because the 22nd Psalm is a messianic psalm that details what was going to happen to Jesus Christ as the Messiah here on the earth. It draws attention to the Messiah. So Jesus on the cross is letting them know, hey, it's really me. And if you want to see if it's really me, go look over there in 22, the Psalm 22, and you'll find out that I fulfilled all of Psalm 22. I really liked that answer. He's the good shepherd that gives his life for the sheep. How many of y'all believe that? We know that. He died on a cross for our sins. Don't you praise God for that? And he was buried, and aren't you glad he rose from the dead? He proved he was more than a man, didn't he? He was raised from the dead. And he proved he was deity. He was raised from the dead. He proved he had authority over death and hell and the grave. He was raised from the dead. And he proved that when he offers us eternal life as a free gift, it's a valid offer. The resurrection says it all. And this is the point there in Psalm 22. It's a reminder that Jesus died for us. He's the good shepherd. And in Psalm 24, he's the chief shepherd. I like how the 24th Psalm ends when he says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. And who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. That's shouting ground right there, isn't it? So we start on the one side, and that's the past. Jesus came and died and was buried. And you jump on the other side of Psalm 23, and you have the future. He's coming again as the King of glory, and he's coming in with great power, and he's going to rule in righteousness. That alone just puts you on shouting ground, doesn't it? To think about living where there's a righteous ruler, one in the world, that's going to be incredible. So you have the past, and you have the future. And right between the two, you obviously have, if it's the past over there and the present over here, or the future over here, what would Psalm 23 be? It'd be right now. So whatever Psalm 23 is saying, it's about you right here today in this Sunday morning service. It's present tense. The Lord is my shepherd. I love the 23rd Psalm. It's not just a triplicate. I think it's also a salvation Psalm. Now, I wouldn't split hairs with you about it, but it kind of happened to me by accident. I was in a revival meeting in Alabama many years ago, and it was a phenomenal meeting. It was just one of my favorite memories was that revival. The building was packed every night. People were saved every night. We had several miraculous answer to prayers as far as there were people saved in that meeting the church had prayed for a long time. And when you're in a revival, you know, mom's been praying for a long time and the dad's been praying a long time or the wife's been praying, and all of a sudden those people begin to get saved and the presence of God is there. Was just phenomenal. Some amazing things happened that week. And on Thursday night after the service, this lady said to me, it always stands out in my mind because she said, now, Brother Young, she said, would you visit my brother? He lives 2 miles right down this road in front of the church, 2 miles in the red brick house beside the red barn, 2 miles in that direction. That lets you know we're in the country. When they tell you it's the brick house 2 miles that way beside the red barn, you know you're in the country. And so she said, it's 2 miles down there. It's the red brick. My brother lives down there. And she said, he's got 2 months to live. He's dying of cancer. And she said, he's not saved. And she said, I got to tell you, brother. She said, he hates preachers. In fact, she said, he has run off every preacher who has ever come to visit him. He hates preachers. And he runs off every preacher that's ever come to visit him. And just to be honest with you, that never excites me. I'm never like, well, praise God, I get to go visit him. And that caught me off guard. Okay, fine, but it's the right thing to do when somebody wants you to go visit even an old cantankerous, you know, old man. And all right, I'll go. And I went back to the RV that night and thought about it. I got up early the next morning. I went to the auditorium. I slipped in the auditorium. It was dark over there and didn't turn any lights, but I got on my knees at an altar there that they had at the front. And I just talked to God about it. And I said, now, Lord, I'm no better than anybody else. And he's run them off. And yet I know you love him. I know you love him. There's no doubt in my mind you love him. And I know he needs to get saved. And I sure wish you'd let me have an inroad. And probably 45 minutes I talked to God about it. And then I got in the church van and I drove down 2 miles to a red brick house by a red barn. And I hoped it was the right one because there were several red brick houses and red barns on that road. But this was 2 miles. And I pulled up in the driveway and knocked on the door. A young man came to the door. And I said, young man, I'm Dave Young, and I'm a preacher, and I'm here to see Mr. So-and-so. Is this where he lives? And he said something like this. He said, hold on a minute. He leans back. Door's open. He leans back, and he looks this way, and he said, hey, Grandpa, there is a preacher here to see you. And I thought, well, nothing like putting on the table, you know what I mean? And all of a sudden, I heard him say, he's like, well, all right, send him in. So what's the beginning? I don't know why I did this. I'd never done it before. I'd never, ever done this. I stepped in the door. I turned left. I saw that old man sitting there, and I did not give him time to say a word. I started quoting the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down. I just went through the 23rd Psalm, and then I said to him, I said, I want you to know three things about the 23rd Psalm. I said, Mr. So-and-so, I said, you know what the psalmist said? The Lord is my shepherd. The psalmist is saying right here that he knows Jesus Christ, the shepherd who died on a cross for his sins and was buried and was raised from the dead. He knows that shepherd here. He knows him, and he's on his way to heaven, and he says, I got to die. He says in the fourth verse, he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. How many of y'all know we got to die? How many of y'all know that? I'm young. You know that, don't you? I'm Dave Young. I'm young. I've been young all my life, and I'm going to die young. And my wife married me so she could be young the rest of hers. So I'm young. I know I'm not looking as young as I used to, but I'm young. But I know, and you know, and I know that all of us are going to face death. I hope the rapture comes, and that's one way we might miss it. But if the rapture doesn't come, we're going to die. We know that. And I said to him, you know, you've got to die. And I said, I know the doctor said, you got 2 months to live. You're dying of this cancer, and God doesn't want you to go to hell. And I'm giving him the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. He died for your sins, was buried, was raised from the dead. And you got to die. And when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to go alone if you know Jesus, because I am with you. My rod and my staff will comfort you. And then I ran down to the sixth verse, and I said, you know what the psalmist said? He said, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord. How long, church? Forever. And I said to him, I said, you see there, the psalmist met the shepherd in verse 1. He had to die in verse 4, and he was in heaven forever in verse 6. And I said, this, oh man, that's what God wants to do in your life. I said, don't you think you ought to get saved? Your sisters talked to you about it. Preachers have talked to you about it. I've been told, I said, that you run preachers off. And yet God still sent another one to tell you so you can get saved. You're about to die, and you know what? You need to get saved. He said, you know, young man, I think I'm okay. Are you serious? I think I'm okay, he said. I think I'm okay. I said, no, why in the world would you say that? He said, because I was in Vietnam years ago, and there was, they were bombing us. There was people dying all around me. In fact, everybody in my foxhole died except for me. And he said, I'm convinced the reason I live is in the middle of that, I cried out loud to God and said, oh God, please don't let me die. And he said, this is the exact words. He said, I'm alive, ain't I? He said, I think I'm okay. You know this, don't you? I said to him, I said, now listen, buddy. I said, look, I believe with all my heart that God heard your cry. How many of y'all know that God reigns on the just and on the unjust? Is that true? I believe God, I don't have a problem at all saying I think God is a God who hears prayer. That doesn't bother me a bit. I'm glad he does. And I think God heard your prayer and let you live. I said, but son, sir, that's not the same thing as getting saved. How many of y'all know that? That's not the same thing as getting saved. No, that won't get you to heaven. Oh, he said, I think I'm all right. He said, I got cancer. The first time I got cancer was 20 years ago, and they were going to have a big operation on me and told me I might not survive, and they put me on one of those hospital gurneys, and they're getting ready to wheel me in. And he said, I prayed my heart, and I said, God, I don't want to die of cancer. Please, please let me live. Don't let me die. Don't let me die. And he said it again. He said, I'm alive, ain't I? And I said, I have no doubt that God lets you live. God might have heard that prayer. God does hear prayer. And I know you're alive and God lets you live through that cancer. But I said, I want to tell you something. That's not the same thing as getting saved. Getting saved is when you recognize there's a shepherd named Jesus that died for my sins. He was buried. He was raised from the dead. Because he died, I can be forgiven. And because he was raised from the dead, I can have everlasting life. And I said, you got to believe on that Jesus. You've got to turn to that Jesus. And I just started quoting him every verse I could think of in the Bible about how to be saved through Jesus, through Jesus, through Jesus. And then I was looking one up. I was flipping over there trying to find it so I could read it to him right. And I read it to him and I looked up. I don't know how many verses I quoted and read and pleaded and begged and talked. And I looked up and all of a sudden he had a big tear gathered in the corner and it started spilling down his cheeks. And I said, are you ready to get saved? And he said, I'm ready to get saved. And he believed on the Lord Jesus and he was born again. I didn't even make it back to the church to tell the pastor what had happened until I already called his sister and told her. He said, I finally did it. I've trusted Jesus to be my Savior. This is a salvation psalm. Can y'all see why I would say that? The Lord is my shepherd. Well, that's if you don't know him this morning, can I just pause real, slow down here a little bit? if you're seated in this great auditorium this morning, you've come to church, maybe you've been in church all your life, or maybe you just came for the first time today. Maybe you know a lot about God, or maybe you don't know anything about God. But if you've never been saved, can I tell you, the Lord is a wonderful shepherd. He did die for our sins. He died for yours, my friend. He went to a cross for you, and he died for your sins, and he was buried. He was raised from the dead. And anybody in this auditorium who would turn to that shepherd, anybody who would turn to Jesus, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved, the Bible says. You got to turn to him. You got to trust in him. You got to call on him. Why, if you're in church this morning, you're not saved. What a wonderful day. This is Thanksgiving week. What a wonderful day to meet Jesus and turn to him, trust him, call on him. He'll save you, forgive your sins. You can walk out of here today saying, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. That's what we want you to do today. This is a salvation psalm. But you know, church, I've got just a few moments. It is a triplicate. Can you see that in the 23rd Psalm? And it is a salvation psalm. I really believe that. But it's also a revival psalm. Now, I'm an evangelist. My wife said to me long ago, she said, now, honey, she said, do you know that every time you read a text, you say, that's a revival text? Every time I go to a pastor, she said, every chapter you preach from, you say, that's a revival chapter. And you know what? I kind of think they all are. You know why? Because they were written to help people like me and you to be what we ought to be for God. Isn't that what revival is all about? How many of you ever get a cold heart? You ever get a cold heart? And the Word of God says, draw nigh to God, and he'll what? He'll draw nigh to you. And so it's all over. So I think this is a revival psalm. I believe it. I've outlined it in so many. I collect Psalm 23 outlines. And that's kind of a weird thing to collect, probably, in your thinking, but I'm a preacher. I love outlines on the 23rd Psalm because I believe that the 23rd Psalm should be the experience of every believer in this room. Everybody in this room ought to know 23rd Psalm in a personal and experiential way. In the flyleaf of one of my Bibles, I found this outline. I wrote down in some sermon somewhere, with me, the Lord, beneath me, green pastures, beside me, still waters, for me, paths of righteousness, around me are the enemies, after me, goodness and mercy, and ahead of me is the house of the Lord. I got this from Dr. Adrian Rogers in Memphis, Tennessee, and he said it like this, the Lord is my shepherd, that's relationship. I shall not want, that's supply. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, that's rest. He leadeth me beside the still waters, that's refreshment. He restoreth my soul, that's revival. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, that's guidance. For his name's sake, that's purpose. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's testing. I will fear no evil, that's protection. For thou art with me, that's faithfulness. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, that's discipline. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, that's hope. Thou anointest my head with oil, that's consecration. My cup runneth over, that's abundance. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's blessings. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. That's security. And forever, that's eternity. That's a pretty good outline right there, wouldn't you say? One said, it's a secret of a happy life. Every need is supplied. The secret of a happy death. Every fear removed. And the secret of a happy eternity. Every desire fulfilled. There's a ton of them. And I thought about the 23rd Psalm when he says, I shall not want. And it made me think of the song by Annie Johnson Flynn. Do you know it? His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. That's the 23rd Psalm. Here's how I outline it. This is mine. In verse 1, you find a person, the Lord. How many of y'all know that the Lord begins, Christianity begins with a person? It's me saying, God, I don't know you, and I don't know how to get to you, and I don't know how to get my sins forgiven, but I know I need you in my life, and I want a God in my life, and I need a person. And Psalm 23 says, well, let me introduce you to him. He's the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. Christianity is not just a religion. It's not this ritual we go through. It's not rules and regulations. It's a relationship with a living God, and he's alive, and he cares about us, and he's our personal God. The Lord is my shepherd. You believe that, don't you? How many of y'all know him as your shepherd? Have you met him? Has he come into your life? Has he changed your life? Has he saved you? Has he met your needs? Has he worked on you and directed your life? And great. The Lord is my shepherd. Here's a person. It's a person. He cares about us. He's a savior for our sins, no doubt about that. That word shepherd is just filled with that meaning. He's a savior for our sins. But I praise God for this. He's a shepherd for our lives. You know this, don't you? We're just sheep. Isn't that right? We're just sheep. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, you know, sheep are just dumb animals. And I don't know that I would go that far. It's not that a sheep is dumb. It's not that at all. It's more like that a sheep is helpless. Why, sheep are just, they're so fragile. They have no natural defense. They can't tear you apart with their fangs. They don't have any claws. They can't bark at you and scare you. They're just a little old sheep. They're just helpless. They're fragile. But what you find about a sheep, the way you get a sheep is you have to purchase it. And sheep can be expensive. A sheep is property. And here's what our shepherd does. Our shepherd looks at us and he goes, you know what? Look how fragile they are. Look how frail they are. You know what? I want to buy them. And our shepherd came into the world and paid the price for us, didn't he? He died. He purchased us. And now we're his sheep. And boy, that's an incredible thought, isn't it? We're so helpless and fragile. You know what we need? We need to get close to our shepherd. He's what we need. We need a person in our lives. How long has it been since you were close to the shepherd? How long has it been since you haven't been real close? Were you just always well between you and the Lord? You were near to him and he was walking with you and you knew his presence and power in your life and his peace. How long has that been? The Lord is my shepherd is reminding us this Christianity is about a person and you need him right now, no matter what's going on in your life. You teenagers in the room, look at me. You need Jesus in your life. You need to let him lead your life and guide your life and direct your life. You millennials in the room, you need him. Don't you daddies need him? Don't you daddies need him? How in the world do you be a dad like you ought to be? Well, you got a shepherd in your life to lead you and guide you and take you to his word and help you to learn how to be the dad you ought to be. You got to have a shepherd. It starts with a person. Are y'all with me on this? Starts with a person because we need him because we're so fragile and so frail. Don't apologize for that. You can't help it. You're just a sheep. Of course you're fragile and frail. And then you get older, don't you? And things begin to change. You retire, nothing to do and no money to do it with and nowhere to go. And things change, don't they? But the Lord is your shepherd. You got to, no matter what season you are in life, isn't that right? No matter what's going on in your life, you need him. You need him. You need to be near to him and he needs to be real in your life. So the psalmist says, he's real to me. That's my shepherd. Don't you like that word, my? The Lord is not just a shepherd. That would work. It's more accurately be the Lord is the shepherd. That would be more accurate. But I just love how personal it is. The Lord is my shepherd. He's mine, brothers and sisters. He's my God. He's my shepherd. He's the one that cares about me. He loves me. Sometimes I feel like I'm his favorite. You ever feel that way? He just loves me. He just cares about me. Just meets my need. I need him. So the Lord is my... There's a person there in verse 1. And then notice verses 2 and 3. The word I would use in those verses, there's peace in this. There's peace. Isn't that lacking in our generation? How many of y'all know about this? We're so uptight. We're frustrated. We're on edge. We're easily bothered. We're easily irritated. We're grouchy as the day is long. We're sharp-tongued and short-tempered. Are y'all with me on this or not? I saw a bumper sticker the other day. It said, sometimes I wake up grouchy. That's what it said. And I looked closer. It said, sometimes in bold print, sometimes I wake up grouchy. And I looked closer. It said, sometimes I let him sleep in. I know, that's not right, is it? That's just not right. But some truth to that. We're so bothered. Anybody watch the news? Anybody here watch the news? I don't recommend it. I wouldn't recommend it. I'm telling you, if you had no idea what was going on in the world, you could still be happy. Are y'all with me on that? And I'm not being foolish about this. I know it's wise to know. I get all of that. But the fact of the matter is, so many times we're uptight, we're on edge, we worry, we're frustrated. Aren't we moving too fast through life? We're too busy. We're just hurrying and worrying and uptight and bothered. And the psalmist comes along and says, God has a better plan for you than that. Here's what he says. He says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Notice that. He makes me do it. You almost get the impression that you don't want to do it. He makes you to lie down in green pastures. My son Matthew is my third child, my second son. He's a youth pastor in Alabama. And Matthew's always been our funny child. He's always made me laugh. One day my son Matthew said to me, he said, you know, Dad, you've always been like a father to me. And I said, well, imagine that, for crying out loud. One day met me in the hallway. He's 6'3". One day met me in the hallway of our house. I was going to bed, and we had just finished family devotions, and I'm heading off to bed, and the kids, who knows how long they're going to be up. And I'm heading down the hallway, and Matthew put hands on both sides of my face like this, pulled my head over, and he kissed me on top of my head. And then he said this to me. He said, "Good night, Father. Sleep well." He said, "Most likely I will still love you in the morning." And I thought, seriously, where do you get this kid? One day I took him to Starbucks, and $5, as one of my friends calls it. And I took him to Starbucks, and I got him a coffee, and we had a little father-son, just a couple of things he was working through, and I bought him a drink. We sat and talked, and just, you know, kind of a dad-son chat, and it was not anything huge, but it was important, and we talked, and then we got in the car, and I backed out of the parking place, and I'm driving out to the end of the parking lot. My son reached over and I had my hand on the little gear shifter there, reached over and patted me on the hand, and he said, "Once again, Father, you've proven yourself to be a meaningful and valuable member of this family." It's like, well, glad to measure up, son. I'm glad I measured up. This kid cracks me up. Now, he's larger than life. He's a big boy, broad-shouldered, works out, runs marathons, and he's touchy. You know, anybody have a kid like that? I think his love language is touch. He always wants to hug you. If you're going to watch a film with him, we don't watch movies, but we'll watch a film. And if you're going to watch, that was a joke. We'll sit down to watch a movie or something together, and he always wants to sit right up against you. I mean, just, you know, I think he'd sit in my lap if I let him. He weighs 200 pounds. He's touchy. He used to do this to us all the time. His mom would be cooking dinner, you know. He'd go in the kitchen. He'd say, "Mom, I need a hug." And she'd say, "I'm cooking dinner, son." "Oh, Mom, I need a hug right now." And he'd grab her. He's bigger than she is. He'd pull her. He'd make her. He'd pull her in. And he'd pull her real tight, and he'd hold her. He'd be strong. He'd hold his mom. And then he would say to her, he'd grab her head like this, and he'd say, "Rest your head, rest your head. Mama, rest your head, Mama, rest your head." He'd do that to me. He'd do that to me. Daddy, I need a hug. I need a hug right now. Come on, I need a hug, Dad. Rest your head, rest your head, rest your head. He forced it. Psalm 23, verse 2 is letting us know that sometimes the Lord has to push us this way, doesn't he? How often you get so busy, you don't have time for God's word. How many families in this room have gotten so busy lately you don't remember the last time you had a family devotional? We just run through this life, and the psalmist comes along and says, "Wait a minute, that's not how God wants you to live. He makes us to lie down in green pastures." Slow down, slow down, slow down. You need me. You need my word. Slow down, lay down right here, lay down, lay down. Just lay down, relax. Enjoy these green pastures. Let me ask you a question. Is this the norm of anybody's life here where you regularly meet with God in his presence in those green pastures? Are you slowing down enough that God's word's working in your life? Lay down here now. Lay down, the shepherd says. Lay down. Let me lead you over here to those still waters. You know what still waters are good for? That's a good place to get a drink. There's peace right there. You go over by the still waters, there's peace there. There's a calming effect in still waters. You just go out there and it relaxes you. The Lord is really saying to you, brothers and sisters in this church, hey, slow down. I know you live in Texas and there's traffic everywhere. I'm not caught off guard by that. I know your life is busy. I know we start the day early and come home and watch TV and stay up later than we should. God's not caught off guard by any of that. God just wants you to know there's a better way to live. Slow down. Slow down, Daddy. Maybe you ought to take your family to some green pastures with the shepherd. Before we go to bed tonight, let's just calm down, kids. Turn that TV off. Turn those phones off. Slow down here. Let's lay down in some green pastures. Some of you, it's been a long time since you've taken time every day to say, you know what, I need some peace in my heart in this messed up world I live in, and I'm going to get God's word open. I'm going to lay down these green pastures with the shepherd and let him minister to me. Do y'all see how the 23rd Psalm ought to be our experience? Shame on us for being so uptight and so irritable and so hard to get along with and so on edge. That's not how God wants Christianity to be. Slow down, brothers and sisters. Slow down, teenagers. Slow down, college students. Slow down and Take time to lie down in those green pastures with the shepherd and let him lead you beside the still waters. Let him restore your soul. You know what he says here? He restores our soul. Anybody's soul out of sync this morning? Anybody's soul out of line? You ever get your soul messed up? The songwriter said it like this: prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Do you ever get wayward from God where you've just been too busy and you've stopped walking with God? I mean, you're still saved. Thank God that you're eternally secure in Jesus. We praise God for that. But no reason just to rest in that. It ought to be real to you. Let him restore your soul. Let him bring you back to a place of joy and love and peace again in your life. How long's that been for some of you that you really had? Your life has been characterized by love and joy and peace and gentleness and goodness and meekness and temperance. Well, that's something the Lord does when he restores your soul. Aren't you glad that God is always a God that lets you start over? Aren't you glad for that? And he'll come minister to your life. You just got to slow down and get in those green pastures and find the rest that he gives and the refreshment that he gives and the restoration that he gives and the right paths that he wants you to walk in. When we're wayward, he can move you into verses 2 and 3. Anybody here feel that today? Anybody here away from God this morning? Maybe you haven't missed one service, but your heart's cold. Maybe you put in a tithe, and you have as long as you can remember. Every week you put a tithe, and you've paid money to missions, but your heart's wayward because you've gotten down. You've gotten discouraged. The heaviness of life has weighed you down. The burdens and cares of your experiences have caught up to you. And maybe you're sitting here this morning. You're just carrying some legitimate burdens. Don't you know that the Lord is saying to you, hey, come on, let me have that. I care about you. Let me restore your soul. Let me lead you in the paths of right. When we're wayward, when we're weak, when we're wicked, when we fall into sin and let things happen in our life that we're ashamed of, when we're wrong, aren't you glad that our God is a God who is real? Aren't you glad for that? And that he cares and that he's personal. This is the 23rd Psalm. So here's a person. Don't you praise God for verse 1? There's a person there. There's peace in verses 2 and 3. And I'm out of time here. There's protection. I can point that out to you. There's protection in verse 4 in there. God offers us protection. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It matters when somebody's with you, doesn't it? That matters, doesn't it? I was raised in Tennessee in the mountains, and we were poor as dirt. When I was a little boy, we had an outhouse. You won't judge me for that, will you? We were so poor, we didn't have indoor plumbing. We had an outhouse when I was a kid. And I didn't mind the outhouse. I didn't know we were poor. We were farmers and had a garden. We canned food. I mean, we had plenty to eat. We always had we killed a steer every year and a hog every year and a turkey. And I mean, we always had eggs. We always had plenty to eat. So I didn't know we were poor. But I found out later we had an outhouse. I didn't know how poor we were until I found that. You know, everybody else didn't have that. I didn't know that. I went to school. I didn't mind the outhouse, but I hated it at night. You won't judge me on that, will you? I hated having to go out at night to use the outhouse. I was afraid of the dark. Scared me to death. Oh, my goodness, I hated it. I know you're looking at me thinking, how could he be afraid of anything, guy that big? But I was scared to death as a little boy. I'm telling you, I was terrified of the dark. You won't judge me if I tell you a secret, will you? It's wrong to judge. Y'all with me on that? You won't judge me if I tell you a secret, will you? Here's how I got to the outhouse at night. I almost hate to admit this. My mom went with me. And that's the truth. I say, Mom, you go with me. She didn't go in. But she go out there and stand out there with me in the darkness. That's fine as long as Mom was there. Do you ever feel like you're living in a world where, Lord, I don't know what to do? I don't know how to help my children. Lord, I don't know what to do. Lord, this world is a mess and falling apart. And the Lord comes along and says, you know, I'm here. Hey, I'm here. The Lord is with me. I'm here. It's all okay, y'all, because I'm here and I'm with you in the darkness of this world, in the fears of this world, in the trials of this world, in the valleys of this world. I just want y'all to know I'm here and my rod and staff's here with me and it'll comfort you. I'm on your side. And how many of y'all know this? If God be for us, Who can be against us? We're in good hands today, aren't we? All is well in my Father's house, isn't it? The Lord is here. The Lord is here. So here's it. He's a person, and we got that in verse 1. We got peace in verses 2 and 3, and we got protection in verse 4, and we got his power in verse 5. And boy, I could preach on that all day. His power, he anoints us, and he meets our needs, and he pours the oil on us. And just, man, what an incredible verse that is. And then we're done. He gives us his provision and his perks. I didn't know how else to give that last line there. How do you describe, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life? How do you describe that? And I thought, I tried all kinds of words, and I finally came up with, well, here's my word. Well, God just blesses us with special perks, doesn't he? I mean, it's enough that he's my shepherd, but on top of that, surely goodness and mercy follow me. Everywhere I go, goodness and mercy follows me. And it's enough that he makes me to lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. Isn't that enough? And that he's with me in the darkness of my valleys, and when it's time to die, he's there with me, and he anoints my head with oil. That's enough, isn't it? That's enough. Praise God, that's enough. But he doesn't stop right there. He just says, I just want you to know, every day of your life, you're my child, you're my son, you're my daughter, and I just want you to know all of your life, my goodness and my mercy is on your trail. My goodness and my mercy is right there with you. My goodness and my mercy. I just love that. Jeremiah said it like this. He said his mercies are new. How often? Every morning. Did y'all get up today? I was going to ask if y'all are awake, but that's a different question. Did y'all get up today? When you called out of bed this morning, you know what God was saying to you? Hey, y'all, I'm here. It's a new day. I'm here. It's a new day. My goodness and my mercy, I'm just following you. I'm just following you. I'm going to follow you today. Whatever you need, I'm available to meet it. And whatever you go through, I'll take you by the hand, walk with you through it. Isn't Psalm 23 shouting ground? Some of you this morning ought to get out of your seat before you leave this auditorium, and you ought to make your way to an altar and say, God, I've been so busy lately. I haven't been in those green pastures in a long time. And God, there's all kinds of fears in my life, things I don't know, just can't explain it, and I'm uptight about it. And God, I want you to just warm me again. Just come to me again. Just speak to me again. Just warm my heart again. How long's it been? How long's it been since you were that close to Jesus? You just heard his voice, and you felt his love. You knew his peace. Obviously, y'all are good people. You wouldn't be in church today, right? But the fact of the matter is, you can go to church and your heart be cold, worried, uptight, on edge. So the altars are available this morning. Many of us ought to kneel. Just say, Lord, you're my shepherd, and I've been wanting. And I know that's no way to live. So help me again to get to the green pastures and the still waters. And God, restore my soul today. My soul's just out of sorts. Restore my soul. God, lead me. I don't know how to go. Lead me in the paths of righteousness. I say to you, friends, he loves you. I didn't go so far to say this. He likes you. He cares about you. And so let him come in again today in a new way, in a fresh way, and just get near to him. If you need to be saved this morning, the Lord is our shepherd. He's the only one that can forgive your sins. He's the only one that can give you eternal life. And it's real, and he'll do it if you'll let him. We'll have an invitation this morning, and there'll be counselors here, people to pray with you and love on you. And you ought to come this morning and let somebody take a Bible and just kneel with you and love on you and lead you to a loving, wonderful, amazing Savior named Jesus who can wash away all your sins and give you everlasting life. He'll do it today if you'll let him. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Psalm 23. Would you bow your heads for prayer this morning? Thank you for your attention. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. How many in this service would say, hey, Dave, I know you don't know me and I don't know you, but I'd like to know the shepherd you talked about. I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven. I don't know for sure. Dave Young, would you just pray for me? Don't embarrass me, but I don't know I'm going to heaven and I'm concerned about it. And I'd like to know God. I really would. Pray for me about it. Lift your hand. Let me see it. I won't call out your name. I won't even know your name, but I'll pray for you. Anybody at all? I don't know I'm going to heaven, but I want to know. Anybody at all? I don't know God. I'm not sure about all this, but I want to know about it. Pray for me. Anybody at all? I don't want to miss anybody. Just a second. I pause. How many of you believers would say, Brother Young, God is speaking to me through the 23rd Psalm. I need to slow down. I need to get to the green pastures. I need Him to restore my soul. God is speaking to me, Brother Young, about all of that. Pray for me about it today. Lift your hand good and high, would you? God's speaking to me in the 23rd Psalm. Then I sure hope you'll find a place to kneel. I sure hope you will. Father, oh Lord, we just step into your presence, God, right now. Just to thank you, Lord, that you're the shepherd and that you love us so, so much, that you're so good. I have brothers and sisters in this room today, Lord, that I've never met. And they're your children, but they're struggling today in spiritual matters. They've been too busy. They've gotten a cold heart. They've gotten worried. There's issues in their life that they're carrying that they've just been so burdened about. And they need you to draw near to them today, Lord, and to work in their heart and restore their soul. Oh, Lord, I pray you will. God, there's perhaps a person somewhere right now in this auditorium who's not saved, and I would have no way of knowing that. Dear Jesus, draw them to yourself and help them to be saved this very day. Oh, Lord, that's how I pray.